I'm Matthew Spaulding. I'm along with Heritage Foundation now with Hillsdale, and my father-in-law is Lee Edwards, a long, deep, dark secret that I now am revealing, which means our family is built on fusionism. And he's at Richard Viguerie's party, which is important for him to be at, since Phyllis Schlafly was always considered 001, and Richard calls himself 003 and insists that Lee, who's, I think, 6 months older, is 002. So, thank you to the Philadelphia Society, to Don, Dan, and Neil for this conversation. I've been coming to the Federalist Society since I was a graduate student, if not an undergraduate, and these events are always great occasions for discussions and debates within conservatism, and I look forward to that continuing. Let me start by starting from today and thinking about it, perspective of someone like myself who is looking back on some of these events. What I find interesting right now in the current recent campaign and the current presidency is what has been revealed to us. Setting aside Trump individually for a moment, in many ways he's kind of pulled back the curtain, if you will. That's clear on the left. Turns out the left actually advocates socialism. I don't know if you noticed this, but there was a guest editorial in the New York Times not too long ago, authored by the editor of The Jacobin, which is a socialist newspaper. But in doing so, he's also revealed some weaknesses on the right, in my opinion. In the 90s and the aughts, I think conservatism had become rather professionalized and stagnant, tired and doctrinal in many ways. I think it's great that we're going back to those core ideas, and the Philadelphia Society is leading that conversation. I point us to the title of this panel, which I like. It's not about conservatism, the noun, but it's more about what to conserve, the verb. And I think that's quite right. What to conserve is the real question here, and how to determine what to conserve and what not to conserve really requires some sort of principle outside to help you determine that question. The initial model of conservatism, fusionism, was remarkably successful, but it seems to me not as a philosophy, but more as a political détente or a rapprochement for an intellectual movement. A surface fusionism between opposing things, which is why you have to fuse them, of conflicting ideas. It's actually, looking back, much less libertarian than I think it's oftentimes presented to be, something that Lee has pointed out to me extensively by looking at going back and reading things like the Sharon Statement or Goldwater or Buckley. But I wonder whether that original understanding of fusionism is sufficient for today, especially when the forces of the intolerant left are on the march, the forces of Mordor are gathering and control many of the cities around us in the high points, and the despotism of the administrative state is upon us. And I think that's because American conservatism has never been, it's always been friendly, but never been completely comfortable with America, despite this being the Philadelphia Society. When I was coming here as a student, we always wanted to talk about the search for order, searching, as if it wasn't right here before us. Often, many traditionalists are not comfortable with America as a revolution because they're not comfortable with the idea of rights. The result is it often becomes mere majoritarianism. Why not populism, to allude to our conversation last night? Libertarianism, on the other hand, likes individual rights, but it's uncomfortable with the moral foundations of those rights, which prevents it becoming mere assertions of will. It's more interested in utility and efficiency and things rather than justice. Seems to me that a deeper fusionism, which was there, and a deeper conservatism, which was always there, would be based on inferences from the same principles. And those principles are best articulated in the American founding itself, grounded in the laws of nature and nature's God, which is why I think that's the thing that we ought to conserve. And the more time we focus on conserving, the verb, as opposed to conservatism, the noun, I think we'll be better off. It's also the best vehicle to appeal to the American people. I think that's still true. Ronald Reagan understood this. It's a particular tradition, but it's also enlivened by universal principles. That's the grounding we need in this time of what I consider to be moral, intellectual, and constitutional crisis. Trump, oddly enough, despite not being a conservative in the movement sense, in any sense of that word, despite his moral flaws, despite the fact that he's often inarticulate, shall we say, he's disrupted the elite consensus and created the possibility of this new consensus. But he is a delining figure. He's deconstructing. He's disrupting. He's not a realigning figure. American politics is fought over ultimately who possesses the high ground of its own meaning. There will be a new consensus. It will either be determined by the left or the right. The left's actively deconstructing it now. That question, I think, is not yet settled, and we can either retreat, take the Benedict option, or engage, and I'd rather engage. One last point. I think we need to think a lot more and revive the great virtue that Russell Kirk pointed us to, which is the virtue of prudence, that lost art. For all its success, the movement, and I say this as someone who's been actively involved in it for a long time, has not been that great at forming those who have practical wisdom, relating principles and circumstances in order to make prudent decisions, practical decisions that are often not preferred decisions, sometimes modest, sometimes bold, not perfect, but it nevertheless advance our principles. So, my conclusion about what to conserve, we should focus more on conserving America. We should also get better at politics so that we can change but keep the same dominant purpose, to quote Winston Churchill. Thank you.